In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God, my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since we intend to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this day when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin, and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are unable to deliver ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us for our benefit. He became man so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God. And to deliver us, he took upon himself our sin and the punishment that we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and has eternal life."
Amen.
We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our deepest thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and as he commanded, love one another as he has loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, though many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Please stand. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness.
All-powerful God, merciful Father, I, poor, guiltful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness. By them I have continually offended you, and fairly deserved your punishment, both now and eternally. But from my heart, I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Holy Thursday is from the second book of Moses, called Exodus, the 12th chapter. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. What shall I render to the Lord for all? says to me,
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
The reading of the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 11th chapter. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life,
who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Text is from Exodus chapter 12. Thus says the Lord, then they shall take some of the blood of the lamb and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. It is the Lord's Passover. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is our text. It's been a long build-up to the exodus of God's people from Egypt. We've been hearing in this Lenten season the 10 plagues that God sent upon Egypt, the back and forth between Moses and Pharaoh, the promises, the threats, all of them lead to the night of the Passover. In some ways, it seems maybe a little bit anticlimactic. After the hail and the locusts and the darkness, the high point isn't another miraculous wonder. It's a meal, a family meal, with food and drink. A meal that starts in slavery and ends in freedom. A meal that begins in the darkness and ends in the light. A meal that takes the people who eat it from the land of oppression on a journey that leads to the promised land. And at the heart of this meal, of this Passover celebration, is perhaps the most unlikely creature of all, a lamb. Lambs, I'm sure you know, don't convey strength or cunning. Lambs don't inspire courage. When we think about the kind of animal we want to be like, we seek to be like a lion and not a lamb. But on this night, it's the lamb that plays a central role. The lamb that is selected,
One lamb, we're told, per family, without blemish, the very best, the most prized, and most valuable animal. A male, a year old. The lamb is selected on the 10th day of the month, only on the 14th day of the month to be slaughtered at twilight. Can you imagine the bleating of those lambs as every household takes their lamb to slaughter it? And then the lamb is separated, the blood is gathered together in one place in a bowl, and the body is put in another, not to be boiled. There's going to be no shoving this lamb into a pot of boiling water. Its bones must not be broken. It's roasted whole over the fire. The lamb being selected is a substitute for the family, for the firstborn of the family whose life would be at stake this night. But instead of that firstborn dying, the lamb dies instead. And so the body of that lamb is roasted, and when the meal begins, everyone ready to leave Egypt, they eat the body of the lamb. And they take the blood of that lamb and they paint the doorposts of the house and the lintels above. The house is marked by the blood. So that when the angel of death comes through, when the angel of judgment, when that final wonder and most terrible plague happens, every house that is marked with blood will be spared. The blood of the lamb covers them. A perfect sacrifice, a substitute for those under it, an atonement for their sins. And then they were to remember this year after year by celebrating the Passover meal. God's people gathering together, slaughtering a lamb, eating that lamb, remembering his deliverance. Until the night came when Jesus gathered with his disciples to celebrate his Passover, to take this meal and this remembrance and this deliverance from Egypt and pull it into himself and give it back to the people, his people, again. A lamb that was chosen, not by the family or the head of the household, but by the Father who is in heaven. One lamb for one family, spread throughout time and space. A lamb without blemish. He had no sin. The very best, the most prized, the most valuable one. That lamb who was selected, whose body would be sacrificed, who you might say would be burned under the fire of God's wrath. A substitute for all the people, his blood separated from his body as that sacrifice for his people. And then it was to be given to his people. And this is what Jesus was doing on that night when he was betrayed, having loved his own, loving them to the very end, loving us in a way that we've hardly even begun to fathom, the deepest and greatest love of all, with his whole self, his whole life, with his body and his blood. And our Lord took all of that love and he poured it into a chalice and he put it upon a plate and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, the blood of the perfect Lamb. And this bread," he said, "this is my body, the body of the Lamb, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." This is the day when we remember this marvelous work of our Lord, but even more than remembering it, this is the day when we again receive what Christ has done, when we eat the flesh of the Lamb, and when we drink the blood of the Lamb, that perfect sacrifice for us, that our sins might be forgiven, our death might be defeated, and eternal salvation might belong to us. It is perhaps the most surprising thing that God's ultimate mighty deliverance is not simply by striking down our foes, but it is found in a meal, in a family meal, a meal that binds us to our Lord and that joins us to one another, a meal of his love, which is poured into us, placed into our mouths, and then his love, which is having its way with us, at work in our own lives. Why does he do this? Why does he give himself to us like this? It is to lay claim to our bodies and to our blood, to purify us and make us new, so that we may be like the sheep of his flock. Not sheep that are led to the slaughter, but sheep that are gathered in his green pastures, that are fed by his still waters. Sheep that follow him, hear his voice, go with him through death to life, through sin to perfection, through danger into security. Through this meal today, your Lord Jesus Christ is delivering you from bondage. He is taking you from slavery. He is giving you the life that never ends. Amen. With his body and his blood, he claims you as his own and marks you so that death has no power over you. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Lord Jesus, Son of God, and beyond all hope, our own brother, we see how you've held us, strengthened us, cleansed us, and started our hearts again, how many times, by this Holy Supper. And we see how unfruitful we've been. If we'd only received you once in our lives, it would have been enough to fill our minds and our lives forever. Amen. So how have we thought the things we've thought, said the things we've said, and done the things we've done? Our good works have been so few, and our sins are far too many. But they're not too many for you. None can atone but you alone. And you ordered us to come. Our sin and weakness overwhelm us, but this huge sacrament overwhelms all. Lord, let us receive you again. By your Spirit, let us know what we are, and then by your Spirit, let us forget what we are and look only at you, so that we receive you now as for the first time, and by your life inside us, grow a harvest for you of love and holy living, to the praise of your wonderful name, O Jesus. And dear Heavenly Father, God of all grace, thank you for granting to us sinners this holy communion in the body and blood of your own beloved Son. Thank you for the forgiveness, life, and salvation that we receive through him. Amen. By your grace, prepare us now to receive this gift in faith with true awe and gratitude. And by its power, order our lives until at last we eat the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you.
This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Hear the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of him, so whoever feeds on me will live because of me.
Amen. Amen.
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death.
Until he comes.
He will remember his holy covenant.
Until he comes.
I heard a loud voice from heaven crying,
Blessed are those who are called to the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you